This is not the age of the hack, which is based upon an email about a Nigerian prince who wants to hire you as their counsel to repatriate $100 million. You look at that email, you read it, you know it's not somebody who has English as a native language. They have ridiculous claims, and hopefully most people would catch that. Today, hackers and the people that are after our information and our resources, they're people that are motivated by many different factors. They're looking at it from the perspective of trying to make money. That's obviously a key focus, and ransomware is often a big part of that. But it's a lot more than that. Nation states are aggressively using cybersecurity hacks as a way to disrupt and gain political advantage in terms of dealing with other countries and doing it on behalf of their countries, industries, and companies. There are also situations where there are people that specifically want to use hacking and infiltration into electronic systems to disrupt. They're not just looking to get money, but they're just looking to cause disruption. And of course, they could be doing it to create issues because they don't agree with the business, what the business is doing, or they're generally against the business community as a whole. So a lot of these motivations, and the people that are doing it are educated, motivated, they understand how law firms work, they know that companies like ours are hiring outside counsel to represent us, to provide us with advice. And so they realize that connection, and they know the law firm environment. They know about how partners and associates are set up. They understand about who to talk to in the accounts receivable department to try to get information. They know that law firms are one of the most prolific advertisers of sensitive, detailed information about their own people. So if you go to any of your firms, you're going to go to their website, and it's going to tell you lots of information about all the lawyers. And that information is a gold mine to somebody who's trying to get into it. They'll send an email to senior partner saying, I went to law school with you. Or one of the best ones is, we want to recognize you as one of the key lawyers in your field. And they'll know the field. And they're going to then use that email as a way to send malware to that partner who's not really thinking about it, but thinking, of course, I should be recognized because I've been doing this for 30 years. So they're going to see that email, and they're going to click on it. These are the types of ways that people get in, and they're looking at case filings. They're looking at newspaper articles, or we don't do newspapers, web articles about lawyers who make statements, and then all of a sudden that lawyer is going to get an email which is a opportunity to infiltrate that law firm environment. The ABA does a tech report every year, and they point out that at least 25% of law firms have been hacked. But what's important to note is that the percentage that have been hacked, as you'll see from the below statistics, it can be over 46% of firms with 50 to 99 attorneys, 38% with over 100 attorneys. And that's because that's where the value is. That's where the information is. Most of those larger firms have a little bit more sophisticated systems to protect. So the risk is actually pretty evened out across the size of firms. But they're the ones who are getting the bulk of the attacks because they're much more public, much more known, and much more at risk. Another consulting firm called Unit 42 did an analysis in just the last year. And when they were looking at the highest level targets of cybersecurity efforts, both successful and unsuccessful, they found that law firms, professional and legal services, were number one on that list. Here are a couple of examples of where law firms have been compromised. The first one is really a fascinating, dynamic story. So in this case, the Haggard law firm represented a plaintiff in a personal injury case. They settled that case. UPS pays the law firm on behalf of the plaintiff a pot of money. In return for that payment was, of course, a release and a confidentiality agreement. Well, the law firm ends up getting hacked, and they get an email from somebody claiming to be the client with the payment information. It's not the same as what the client gave before, but they don't check, they don't think about it. They pay the money to this hacker, not to their client. The law firm says, well, something happened, we didn't get the money, you know, to the right people. So they end up suing UPS to recover, or making a claim on UPS to recover the money, and they say, you owe us $100,000. Well, UPS then says, wait, we don't owe you the money, and by filing this claim, you just violated the confidentiality agreement. And so that process ends up disclosing the nature of the hack. And this type of hack is very, very common. We see it frequently. One of the other dynamics of how this works is a law firm will get an email, or they'll get their system compromised, and the hackers will then go to the vendors of the firm and change information. The firm might be receiving funds from clients, and they'll try to change the banking information so the clients send.